Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on podcast1.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday. We meet again. We're going to have some real fun. Stick around in just a second. I will tell you who the guest is, but first I want to tell you today's episode is once again brought to you by the good people at BetDSI.com. Guys, if there's any major world or sporting event, BetDSI is taking action on it. These guys have been in business for over 20 years. They are a top-rated business site at many sportsbook reviews. They have great mobile product that makes it very easy to place your wager from anywhere. Download the app. These guys have built a reputation on not only having what I call ridiculous odds. I think they take some ridiculous odds at times, but so what? Let's go kick their butts and take their money. They've built a reputation on making paying fast and easy. And right now, for my listeners only, if you go to BetDSI.com and you set up an account, use the promo code CHAEL200, and they will give you a 200% bonus on your first deposit. That means if you put $10 up, you use the promo code CHAEL200, when you check out, you will have $30 on the books. They will give you a 200% bonus just for knowing the promo code CHAEL200, listening to this show and going to BetDSI.com. Now, told you we got a good guest today. We got X-Pac. X-Pac is back. As we wait for him to call in, there was one bit of news that I found pretty interesting. Demetrius Johnson came out and he made a statement. And the statement was pretty wordy, but you could condense it down. And, you know, I could kind of paraphrase for you what happened in about two sentences. Demetrius is not wanting to fight TJ Dillashaw. He doesn't want to do the TJ fight. And that really annoys me because I'm a fight fan. I want to see him fight TJ. I like the fight. And I also think it's really good for the division. But DJ brought up a point and he just said, look, here's the side of it you got to consider. And you could just tell when you read DJ's statement, and I think most of you did, you could just tell when you read his statement, he was telling the truth. He was just candidly telling you the order of events and the way that they happened. And he said that he received a phone call. And he was offered a fight, the fight that the UFC wanted to make against Borg, and he accepted the fight. He then got another phone call that said, hey, Borg fight's off, now you're fighting TJ. And so his perspective, as I interpreted it, was, hey, you asked me to do something, it was your idea, and I said yes. I don't want to change. Then you called me back and said, hey, we want to change the idea. Well, I'm not open for that. One of his resentments, if you will, my word, not his, but one of his frustrations was also that he wasn't able to talk to Dana White. He was going through the new matchmaker who's working with Sean Shelby, and he kind of wanted to talk to Dana. And I imagine that's a tough frustration. I've heard a few guys say that, and the reality is that's just tough. There's just so many hours in a day, and to understand how busy and how hard Dana has to work to take some of those phone calls, and a lot of problems could be solved with those. I fully will concede to that. But it's a little tougher ask than you might think. Hey, why can't I just jump on the phone? Well, there's only so many hours in a day. If you're Dana White, you're going, look, there's a reason that I've hired matchmakers and every position up and down the line. There's a reason I did that so that I don't have to do it. And the reason so I don't have to do it is because I can't. I just don't have time, whether I'm in meetings or I'm on airplanes or I'm, you know, putting TV deals together and some other stuff like that. The days of Dana White being a fight promoter are long past. He is now a television executive. And some of the meetings and the business savvy in mind and the caps that he has to put on, it just makes it tough. And that's a reality more than it is a defense. And I get where Demetrius, just because I have heard other fighters say that too. Hey, I got to get some FaceTime. I got to be able to talk to him. And if you're the company, you're going, hey, look, you've got to work through your direct report, which in this case is the matchmaker, and this is the match that we want to make. So I did think it was interesting. There was a statement also made. Demetrius said that Dana said, look, you're fighting TJ, I'll just do away with the entire division. And I think that that bothered Demetrius. But there is also a reality there. You're a promoter, and you're constantly balanced with a couple of things. First off, the flyweight division is just not working money and draw and business-wise. None of us want to see them do away with it. One, because the greatest talent in the sport is in that division. But two, we don't want to see opportunities gone for anybody. We want more opportunity. We want 115-pound men's division, 105-pound men. I mean, just keep adding divisions. More opportunity is great. But you are faced with that constant conflict of providing opportunity is costing me over here. If you're also going to give me a headache, we've got a problem. It's like in baseball. What do they say in baseball? It's the three-strike rule and you're out. So right out of the gate, business-wise, it's been tough. Now you're giving me a headache. We got two strikes. So I thought that it was a fair and candid statement that Dana made to Demetrius, but I also understood how it offended him and hurt his feelings. I mean, Demetrius is just a human being. What's he want to hear? That it's I don't get my voice heard a little bit more, or I get a threat put at me. It's a reality. The corporate world can be tough. You don't always get to hear things that you want to hear. So, but I did appreciate that Demetrius shed some light on that, because he's a pretty quiet guy. And I respected the way he did it, because I didn't think he bashed anybody. I thought he just came out and told his side. And like any story, the timeline does matter. These events happen, but let me tell you when they happen. And when Demetrius said, look, I got a phone call, I got their idea, and I agreed to their idea. That was relevant. That is very relevant in understanding Demetrius's psyche. I still don't like, and he is still maintaining the argument that TJ needs to come to the division, prove he can make the weight, do a fight, and then I'll fight him. I don't love that. I just don't. I really like the, hey, I'm an athlete, and I'll take on anybody that's offered to me. I just like that approach. But I think that Demetrius does deserve maybe a little bit of slack. He's done some pretty heavy lifting, accomplished some incredible things. So there's my thoughts on that. Now, without further ado, let's get into it. Now, I love talking to X-Pac, and I love talking to X-Pac for a few reasons. One, he's a tremendous guest. But two, X-Pac is a very rare person, and he's much like Joe Rogan in this, but you won't meet a lot of people in your life. X-Pac cannot tell a lie. Whatever you ask him, he will answer your question, and he always tells the truth. And you always have to ask yourself, as a listener or just a human being, if I was confronted with the same question, would I lie? And a lot of times the answer would be yes, but the guy can't tell a lie. About 10 days ago, he ends up in some jam in the UK. We'll get to the bottom of this in just a moment, but he ends up in some jam in the UK that makes international news because it's X-Pac, and he's charged with some kind of smuggling of meth into the country. They cuff him up, they detain him. X-Pac just comes out and goes, hey, I didn't do this. About 10 days go by, which brings us to yesterday, and it gets reported, no, he didn't do it. He was cleared of all charges. So, X-Pac, since you're there and listening to me talk about you, what in the hell happened to your trip to London?
Well, hey, that's the thing, Chael. Oh, by the way, thank you for having me on. It was really cool when I got a message from you. I was like, hey, maybe he wants me to come on the show, because I love coming on your show, Chael.
Well, thank you, buddy.
People would, by hearing the story, they would think that I made it all the way, or I was on my way back from London when I encountered customs, because usually they check you on the way in. You would think they're here to protect our borders from people bringing things in. So I got on the plane to go to London, and I had some edibles with me for the flight. My dosage is pretty high, so I had a few. Anyways, customs was waiting for me on the way out, leaving the country, Chael. Have you ever had that happen?
Yeah. No. I apologize. No, I always have it the way that you said it. Not the other way around.
I just think, Jill, we don't have the money to be protecting the borders on the way out, man, in the first place. But that's another story. This one particular guy, just he had a hard on for me, Jill. And there's no two ways about it. I guess they did a, you know, check the passenger list, and I had some priors, you know, drug related offenses in the past. No big shocker there. and when they pulled me aside, I declared what I had. I pulled out my medical marijuana card and I showed them everything I had, and I just knew. I could just tell there was three guys, and one of them just the one that was acting. Like, you know, he was being quote unquote polite in the way he was talking, the words that were coming out of his mouth, but you could just tell. And to make a long story somewhat shorter here, they couldn't get anyone to take me to jail over the cannabis. And so this guy was really on a mission, jail. And it's a crazy story, but basically, the guy was so determined to get me to go to jail, he made up a story, made up that I had crystal meth in these capsules that I had for a candida infection.
So what happens? So they cuff you and embarrass you and the whole bit, huh?
Oh, yeah. Not only that, but then Customs doubled down. And I don't blame all U.S. Customs. I blame this one guy. One guy. And so, you know, when I'm sitting in jail and it violates a probation that I had over it was marijuana stop, but I ended up pleading down to like a paraphernalia charge in Pennsylvania. I had an old DUI from 2004, was like 14 years ago. I didn't do everything I needed to do with that here in California. So it brought those things up, which I'm glad to be taking care of the DUI thing, Jill. I want to get everything taken care of. But back to the story. U.S. Customs, when the media actually called them, they doubled down on the story and said that I was trafficking meth out of LAX. And that's insane. Like, considering the fact that I didn't even have meth on me, you know? And it just, it was on April 28th, actually, when this happened. And I was arrested on the 29th at like 3 in the morning. But, you know, of course my reputation, I worked really hard for quite a while to try to build my reputation back up and just in my life, you know? And so this really was a speed bump in the road there, you know?
Well, you know, I could only feel for you, and I appreciate you retelling this story, and I'm sure it's even a little bit annoying for you now. And I saw basically everything you just said in the video that you did on TMZ. But it hadn't been revealed yet that they completely cleared you. And there was even a rumor. I mean, it started, I don't know how much of this you saw, but it started with heroin. And I mean, they played it up to, you know, like you were internationally smuggling this in. And then, then they switched it over to crystal meth. And then it finally comes out, no, he didn't do any of it. He is 100% innocent. And I'm just reading this stuff at home going, this is crazy. How do they go from he's the new Pablo Escobar to he didn't do any of it? And how do you unwind that in the day of Google? It could be 10 years from now. We're going to see something with your name attached to crystal meth, and you didn't deserve it. You did not deserve it, and I'm sorry it happened to you.
I'm pretty sorry about it, too, but guess what, Chill? I don't think it's a good waste of my energy to continue crying over it.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that.
It's so crazy, though, man. It's just insane. But, you know, if I think about it, and, Chill, if you really think about it, if you match it up to all the other stories that make up my life, it's not that crazy at all.
Hey, buddy, I will tell you, when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, that sounds right. Pac might have done that. Until I heard you on TMZ go, no, I didn't do it. Then I knew you did it. I mean, if there's anything that you have, including, you know, the speed bumps and times you stubbed your toe, you have credibility because you have owned up to everything. You never duck and dodge. Yeah. And when you came out and said, no, just give this some time. My hands are clean here. I was like, hey, he's telling the truth. His hands are clean. Yeah. Well, more of the story will come. But I just knew. You can't tell a lie. It's the strangest thing in the world.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult for me. And not that I haven't done it, Jail, but I always come clean about it, man. It burns a hole in me.
So,
you know, and it hasn't served me well sometimes, but overall, I'm pretty happy that that's the way I am.
So,
you know, because in a situation like this, like at least the people that are closest to me that have been around me lately understood that it was BS. And I don't blame others, you or anyone else, for going, oh, that sounds about right, because that's what I thought, too, if I remove myself from the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, X-Pac got into a new business. Okay, let's see how this ends up. So, hey, I don't bring any of that up to embarrass you. I want to clear your name with a half a million people that you were totally innocent. So, all right, whatever guy...
It takes a lot to embarrass me, Jail.
I'll tell you, whoever that gentleman was and was hoping to get his own name on TMZ, it looks like the idea backfired. And we can move on.
I said this to TMZ, I think Mr. Delgado from United States Customs, LAX, deserves full credit for the big bus, Jail.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to send him a letter and congratulate him.
L.A., I will be there tomorrow. If I see Mr. Delgado, I will let him know what I think about this. Hey,
here's the problem, Jail. I now, like, I'm concerned that I'm going to get effed with every time I come in and out of the country.
I am quite sure you will, because, I mean, doesn't it work that way? They must make some marking, and every time you go to scan your passport. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think you've got a headache in front of you forever.
So the paranoid part of me, since they made up a story this time, the paranoid part of me goes, well, what if the guy has a huge hard-on for me, and now he looks like a dipshit? What if next time he plants something on me?
Sure. Hey, that's
it's not out of the realm of possibility when you think about what happened already, Chael.
No, man, I watch enough movies that I would love to set your mind at ease right now, and I can't. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Probably unlikely, but I hear your point on that be a little bit paranoid and go, oh, boy, what am I up against now?
Yeah. I mean, I went through I took a polygraph, and I mean, I did what I could until it finally came out that it wasn't, that the substance wasn't a controlled substance. I did everything I could, man, because, I mean, I knew. It's whatever.
How does that work now with international law to take marijuana somewhere if you have a medical card? Do they accept that? Is it the same as taking any other medicine, or do they go, what's different here? Okay. It's still a problem?
Yeah, not a good idea. And the intent should be to have it all gone before you actually land.
Gotcha. There's an unwritten rule in law enforcement that if they accuse you of something and they find out that you did something wrong, but it's lesser than what they accused you of, that they just let you go. By example, I've never had a drop of alcohol in my life, but I have been pulled over for DUI and forced to do sobriety tests a couple of times. At the same time, I was driving a pickup truck. I had a couple people in the back, which you can't do. There was no seatbelt, maybe a headlight thing. Yeah. However, all was forgiven. When I was accused of drinking and driving, all the other charges were forgiven. So there is like this unwritten rule in law enforcement. So I'm happy that they followed that, including internationally, where they accused you of crystal meth, found out it was some edibles, just let the whole thing go. That's the right way to handle it. I actually like that unwritten law.
You know, you know what I'm very grateful for, Jail, is LAPD. And I sat and watched LAPD. Well, first it was LAXPD, which is basically LAPD, fighting with U.S. Customs over the fact that they didn't want to take me. It took them three different times to get the cops to take me. Eventually they come up with the crystal meth story.
So did they do a full booking? Like, did you get to have a mug shot and all of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they give you the full humiliation.
With intent to sell. That big felony, yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
And so LAPD insisted on taking the the evidence and having it tested by their labs, thankfully. So that's why I'm very grateful to LAPD over this.
Oh, great. Well, good. Well, good. One positive shout out there that we don't hear a lot for the boys in blue in LA. So that's
NTMZ,
cool of you.
NTMZ. I'm grateful to them for being fair in their coverage.
You know, they are always good sports. They do not interrogate their guests is my opinion and what I notice of them. And I have the app and I go to it a couple times a day. They just let you tell your side and they don't challenge it. They just tell your, and then they put it out there. And yeah, I think they do a great job too. I think it's one of the reasons they can get an interview with anybody in the world because they are fair.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And people, they were quick to go ask TMZ. I'm like, they're doing their jobs. It was what was reported. When U.S. Customs says this guy was trafficking meth, you tend to believe U.S. Customs, Jail.
Sure. Sure. No, I assume too. I don't know the process. I just assumed they'd already tested it. They had it. They knew what it was. You know, and then the reports did make it sound like you had a duffel bag full. I mean, I'm picturing, again, my image that I have from the movies. And it was like, ooh, I mean, isn't there a better way to get it there, Pac? Did you have? I was thinking that, right? Like, hey, Pac, you might need some work on this. You know, most people don't just put it on an airplane.
I was going to say something, but I'm not going to.
Now you got me curious. What were you going to say?
Sponsors probably won't like it.
Hey, speaking of sponsors, you got a new show that's blowing up. I mean, blew up basically overnight, man. Tell us a little about that.
Oh, Xbox 1-2-360.
Xbox 1-2-360.
Yeah, it's on AfterBuzz TV with it's Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro's network, and they've been amazing to me. My life is amazing now because of them, because of the opportunities they've given me. I relocated out here to L.A., and so I've been here since September. And the show, I'm going on almost a year's worth of shows.
Wow.
And I haven't missed one. Even when I was in jail, I got out in time to make the show.
Good man.
I'm hoping to have you on one day, Jail. I need to get better about asking my friends to come on the show. I feel bad. It's kind of hard.
You feel like you're annoying people. You're not. I mean, I'll come on your show anytime, and I'm sure the rest of your Rolodex will too. But yeah, I go through the same thing. I hate making the ask. Totally. I totally know.
Yeah. But I'll do it for my friends any day of the week, but I'm afraid to ask them.
Hey, let me switch gears with you now that we put that to rest. Yeah. And thank you for being open and candid and allowing me to talk about that. Hey, are you following in wrestling? Rip Rogers, ex-wrestler, did you follow any of his Twitter beef? I mean, and then Cena got into it with it. It was going all over the place. But Rip Rogers is basically really pissed off with the independent circuits, hates the way the guys are working, largely because they're high flyers and it's one stint after the next. Okay, do you at least know what I'm talking about? What's your opinion on that?
Of course. I totally understand where Rip's coming from and the people that feel like him, because part of me has those thoughts too. But I also, Chael, I don't spend my life in the time machine going back in time, man. I'm in the present and you know, looking forward, man. And things evolve.
Sure.
You know, and the art evolves, the craft evolves, and we might not like it, man, but that's just the way it goes. Okay, yeah, it was better back in my day. That's how I feel. Some people don't feel that way. There are things that in principle, I agree with just about everything. Well, I don't know, just about everything, but a lot of what Rip says. But, I mean, these people that... It's just, you know, I mean, things evolve. I'm sorry I got tongue-tied there, Jail. It's just, you know, sometimes I try to be careful how I say things, too, because I want them to come out right. But, man, it's the bitterness, though.
Let me give you my take on it, because, you know, in my opinion, there is a difference between professional wrestling and sports entertainment. And to your point, we have just evolved, and you can argue which is better all that you want. However, numbers don't lie, and numbers have never been better. I mean, the WWE just did 53,000 people for the Survivor Series. a live gate. I mean, that's a remarkable number, and they're coming out for the entertainment side of it. I got Rip's point because I also grew up, watching it, particularly in the 80s, and it was portrayed to us then, prior to Vince taking the stand in 1989, as a conflict. And I got that, where it looked like guys were resisting and trying to pinfall or submit one to one another. But then it got into, and you were part of this, it did get into some of the high flyers and the acrobats. And it was so amazing, like when you were doing that and some of the other guys, and WEC did such a good job with the cruiserweight division. But not everybody can do that. Like when you start bringing the crowd to their feet, and so everybody goes, okay, well, I'm going to go out and do what X-Pac does. There is a balance there where it's like, well, hold on. We only need a couple of these X-Pacs at a time. We don't need a whole roster of them. We're seeing that in MMA right now, I guess, to make this correlation, where MMA is not as much. Right now, we're in the entertainment era. It used to be the sports era, but right now we're going through the entertainment era as well, where who can draw, who can sell, who can do press conferences, and I think this is meaningful, but we've got a guy named Conor McGregor, and everybody is now going, well, I'm going to be Conor McGregor. It's like, no, we only need one guy on stage with an accent and a bow tie at a time. You got to find your own way. You got to find your own path to set yourself apart. Your own gimmick. Don't just go and take his. And I think that my interpretation of Rip, it's like, hey, Rip, you are wrong. Like, these guys are doing what they're trained to do, but wrestling schools have now switched. They're not out there to just look for a big right hand and a kick to the gut and then hold a headlock for 5 minutes. They're not trained to do that. So these guys are going out and performing the way that they're trained, and you're taking it out on the wrong guy, was a little bit of my resistance to the statements that he was making.
That's a great way of putting it, it's just like you said, the 5 minute headlock and working up out of the headlock into the top wrist lock, and getting that reaction that would come with it. Like, I mean, we can still do those things, Rip, but I called you Rip. Sorry about that. I have a funny Rip Rogers story, actually. Well, it's not that funny. But
tell it. Anyway. Well, tell it. What do you got on Rip?
Rip and I are cool now, but I never used to be cool with Rip because he pulled some shit back in the day on an independent show I was on.
What did he do? Did you give him a receipt? I know you did. Tell the story.
Oh, it took a while. I got him back, though. And he just did some really unsavory things to some people I'm dear friends with. One in particular, actually, and he came to TV a couple of years later, and I put something in his fanny pack that wasn't very nice. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. I've heard some things that you've done behind stage, so I'm sure our listeners, as well as me, have a pretty good idea of what ended up in his fanny pack.
Yeah, it didn't smell too good, but we made peace since then, or whatever. And I'm a fan of Rip Rogers. But I find that people that spend all that time in the time machine, their present day lives are very miserable. You ever notice that?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I've been there, man. I've been the one that's always looking at old tapes and going, this that's just shit nowadays, and come on, man.
No, I get it. Things become commercialized. Country, I'm a big country music fan, and they don't make country music anymore. Country music went away in the very early 90s. And, it's all rock and roll now. And I even resent some of the guys like George Strait, who I would put down as my favorite singer, because he's gone along with it too. However, to his credit, he's still selling out arenas. He had to adapt with the times. He couldn't just stay true, to what was driving him to solid platinum albums in the 80s. Things have to change. And even though I resent it, I also have to appreciate the fact that he was able to change with the times. And I do get Rip's point, and wrestling has changed. But if you go back and you look at some of the houses that he was drawing back then, they aren't anything close to now. So
and say, also go back and watch some of the matches on video, and not that there wasn't great stuff back then, but there was an equal or greater amount of stuff that sucked That was awful.
Definitely.
Dale. That was really, when you look back at it, you go, I thought that was real. Are you shitting me?
Oh, most definitely.
So come on, man. Like, let's not, like, sometimes we look into the past and we're looking through rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, I grew up in Portland. We had a great scene. We had a promoter named Don Owens out here, Pacific
Don
Northwest.
Owens.
Yeah, I mean, we
legendary,
had...
Legendary Don Owens.
Just amazing. When he died, I mean, he tried to pass it to his son and then Sandy Barr, and nobody could do it. When Don left, he just had the recipe. But I would watch a lot of those matches, and they were even televised back when they had what they called the territories. And, if I went back though, Pac, they were so bad, you know, to your point, I can remember because the athletes just weren't very good and the guys would get blown up so fast. They would grab a headlock and they would hold it for 8 and 9 minutes with the crowd booing and chanting boring, but the guys weren't in shape to do anything else. So I get your point. So, you know, once you start speeding thing up and speeding up the action, at what point do you say, okay, that's enough? Well, the answer is you never do. You never do. You hit moonsaults and you hit high flyers, and enough is never enough. That's human nature. So I want to listen to Rip
Terry
because
Funk.
I respect
Chael.
Him.
Chael, think about Terry Funk. Like, I mean, he was that consummate wrestler, and he changed. He evolved. He was smart. He knew that you had, like, the George Strait, like you're talking about, the George Strait example, you know?
Yeah, no, if you want to, look, the things that worked in the 70s aren't working today. Where's that balance? I don't know. I like to listen to what he's saying, but I'm an old school guy. I like some of those matches before they revealed the fourth curtain to us. I like to be a mark. I like to be kept in the dark. You know, anything that ever happens behind scenes where there's no cameras and it only gets revealed through rumors on the internet, I love that stuff, and so does everybody else. That is what is so fun, because you guys have let us in on too much now. We don't want to be complete partners with you. We need to be left in the dark a little bit.
So, hey, do you think that we can put it in reverse a little bit and pull the curtain, like, close the curtain back and you know, keep some things from the people? Like, I mean, do you think it'll work?
I tell you, it's a little bit tough now, because what you guys are also up against, and so is every other sport, but you guys particularly, that a level amount of secrets is a very good thing. What you're up against is social media. Nobody can keep a secret anymore. I mean, I think it was Titus. I might be pinning this on the wrong guy, but somebody was just overseas and took a picture with two guys that were feuding with one another, hanging out at the pool, working out the spots. And it's like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Don't give us too much. Keep us in the dark a little bit. We're okay with it.
Yeah, we don't need to be doing that. Like, those are the things we can, like, keep in private. Like, And I think that, okay, yeah, kayfabe as far as people knowing it's a work and it's entertainment. Okay, yes, that's gone, but still, like, a form of kayfabe can still be practiced.
Definitely.
You know?
Hey, do you have any inside scoop? Do you Goldberg? Do you know where he is? Goldberg done? Did his contract expire? Is he going to pop back up?
No, he's finished his commitment. But man, I he did great in at WrestleMania. You know, I thought him and Brock had a hell of a match.
I think they played that card. I think the whole thing was brilliant. I was so annoyed when Goldberg came out and squashed Brock, but I got it. And then he squashed him again, and I just got it. And then even the WrestleMania match was short, quick, to the point. Neither guy blew up. They both had the inner. I thought it was perfect. Goldberg, definitely business wise, he was the guy of the year for the last 12 months. I mean, he did move that needle, and I don't want to see him gone. I just don't. I want him to pop back in here or there. He's got an intensity. He's got a look. He's got a shelf life. So, man, let's use it a couple more times, is my opinion. More Goldberg.
And he's a guy that you can, like, everyone can like and not feel bad about liking. Like, he's not the guy that's you know, your kids are getting in trouble going to school and telling their parents to or their teachers to suck it. And, you know, he's not us. He's Bill Goldberg. You know, he's a credit to the industry. So,
is he a cool guy? Is he a good guy behind the scenes?
Yeah, I can only speak from my interactions with him, and he always has been to me. Always.
Well, there it is. That's what you got to go off of then.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Who are your favorite guys to watch right now? Who do you mark out for where you go, whoa, he's going to wrestle, I'm going to sit down and tune in?
Nakamura. Finn Balor, Braun Strowman.
You're a Strowman mark. Now that surprises me because that's not someone you can watch and relate to. That's the opposite end of like say the work that you used to do. What has you about him?
Because he was like an opponent. Like if I had him as an opponent, my mouth would be watering. Because that was my specialty, was the David and Goliath match, and like I could just picture right now him throwing me around the ring and like these different bumps I would take, but not gratuitously, but just in the right spots. But and just the guys, I'm just really high on Braun Strowman.
Wow,
really high on that guy.
Well, he's getting his push. What do you think about the push they're giving to Samoa Joe? Is that the right guy to give it to?
Yeah, that's the right guy to. I think that's a great first title defense for Brock. Really good one. Because Brock needs somebody to beat, and Joe can get beat and still keep credibility. And I don't. There was no real like. It wasn't like Joe was coveted by Vince McMahon. Oh, we got to have him. That was anything but the case. And I'm really, really happy for Joe because he's gone and, proven people wrong.
Definitely. I'm one of those people. I've never fully got Joe. There's been a few guys that have come along and gotten pushes, and I go, hey, I don't really get this. But where I'm wrong, I can also acknowledge I'm the guy out in left field
like
wearing the catcher's mitt.
I don't like the shorts. I wish you would go back to the Valetudo shorts. I
do too.
The big baggy shorts.
I'm with you on that. I don't like when a guy ever changes the look. You want to know who's been a genius in this sport? And I'm switching gears a little bit. You want to know who's been a genius in this sport to adapt and adapt just a little bit? But that's Jericho. The new thing that Jericho's doing with the scarf, and he's got the list, and it's a little corny, but God damn it, does it work? That guy. Is one? I remember when the wrestlers would come out under a mask. It would be like that much of a change. They'd go away for a little bit. They'd come back with a new build, and he'd have long hair, and all of a sudden it shaved off. Just a total change. Kane would be an example there. And Jericho can just switch it a little bit, and it's so smart, and he does it at the right times. And boy, has he kept himself relevant into his 40s. Really amazing.
Oh yeah, and. In the ring, like, I don't think he's really lost a step. We could all, go and point out, okay, he's lost, maybe a half a step, not quite as fast as he used to be, but whatever. He can go with anyone. He can keep up with anyone in the ring. Because he and I are basically the same age. And just seeing what he did with everything and all the right choices he made, and how he's taking care of himself and all that. He partied a bit when he was younger, or maybe he even does now. I don't know. But he, whatever he did, he always kept in check, to never let anything get out of hand. And nothing but huge respect for him.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Big admirer of him.
I'll tell you, there's something about him, too, my sense, that comes through with me, that he is a guy who appears to genuinely be having fun. And, we're so results-based in this, in wrestling, in MMA, too. If you're not winning, it's hard to stay on top of the bill. He's a guy that can do the job, but he genuinely appears to be having fun, and there's something about that, and that's a rare compliment to give to a guy. It's a rare thing where that comes through to the viewer, and he just doesn't lose any stock. You appreciate it. Shane McMahon would be another one. Shane comes out, he does the job every time he comes out, but he's having a good time, and there's something about that that's really cool and really hard to resonate to a fan, but those two guys do it, and as fans, we're on board, man. You're getting our money.
Yeah.
We're going to watch.
And I think a big part of it is that emotional equity that you can't, that only time, you can only build that with time. It's just 20-some years of knowing Chris Jericho. It's like, it's not family, obviously, but you know how it is when
Sure.
you grow up watching somebody and then, wow, man, like I said, like we just said, just how he's still on top of his game. Taking some time off, he's going to be back again.
Oh, for sure. Oh, he's got to. He'll get a pop. He'll come back. He'll change something. He'll put someone on the list. The fans will come to their feet and buy a T-shirt on the way out. Yeah, definitely.
And he doesn't need to. And when you don't need them, it changes everything in how they deal with you.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, it does. Come on. Even like it has to with in your when they if you're negotiating for a fight and they know you don't need the money, you're gonna be able to get way more money from them, aren't you?
Oh yeah, no, that's true. That's definitely true, and that's a rare place to get to. But yes, when that happens, things do oddly get easier instead of harder.
Yeah.
I've been telling you about this for a while. I'm personally using this. I got a fight coming up June 24th, a number of days now, and I got to make weight. I use HelloFresh, and this isn't a diet thing. This is just what I do to control my diet. But at HelloFresh, they want to make cooking more fun, so they focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. At HelloFresh, they fancy themselves for using farm to box. And what that means is it comes right from the farms to you guys. They've also got a couch to kitchen company because it's the best way to kick those 5 p.m. excuses by not feeling great to feeling unstoppable in the kitchen. At HelloFresh, they do even more than that. They are proud to be a fork to feel good company too, because when you cook and you eat delicious and healthy meals, you're going to want to keep doing it again and again. I will tell you guys right now, the way this works, you go online, go to HelloFresh.com. You go online and you set up your meal plan. You can do, right now they've got a few different plans. They've got a classic box. They got a veggie box. They've got a family box. That's what we use at my house. Customers can order 3 or 4 or 5 different meals per week, and they are designed for either 2 to 4 people. They have new recipes, and they are created every single week. Guys, they are going to deliver the food right to your doorstep. Every meal comes with perfect ingredients, perfect instructions. It can take about 30 minutes to make. It will make a cook out of anybody. I love it because it's a little bit social. Okay, it's a little bit social. My wife does most of the cooking in my house, but every now and then I participate. We both jump in there. They're designed for 30 minutes. They usually take us about 18. It's pretty quick. But you put everything together. Now the house is smelling good. Now you're having a little social event, and then you've got an awesome meal. I always tell you guys, this is the only thing more convenient than a drive-thru, because in a drive-thru, you got to get in your car. With HelloFresh, it literally comes to your door, packaged up in a safe, secure box, and it's wonderful. Guys, go to HelloFresh.com. Look around, see some of the recipes, check it out for yourself, see what kind of program you want to do. When you check out, use the promo code CHAIL30. Just for using that code, HelloFresh.com will give you guys $30 off. HelloFresh.com, promo code CHAIL30. And also, do me a favor on this. Since I'm getting you guys $30 off and telling you about these guys, send me some tweets. Just send me some recommendations. Hey, I had HelloFresh. Make sure you try the chicken. Whatever it might be, let me know. Because their menu keeps changing. It's a vast menu. And frankly, I'm locked into a few things. I order them each week, and I really like them. But if there's something out there I need to know about, just send me a tweet at ChailSun and I want to know about it. Also, if anybody is looking for a car, and I don't care if it's new or if it's just new to you, don't buy a car without using TrueCar. Go to TrueCar.com if you're at a desktop. Get the mobile app. Download it right now. Here's how it works. Use transparency in the car buying world. Again, new or just new to you. Go in through the app or the website, build the car you want virtually, year, make, model, color, whatever it is you want to do to the car, type in your zip code, and it will tell you what people in your area have paid for that exact same car. At that point, you will be connected with a TrueCar certified dealer. You will work with them, you will get everything done, you show up to the lot, you pull away a few minutes later. It's very quick. Most people are saving almost $4,000 off of the MSRP. Most people, at least, can tell me that they've fallen in love with a car through an ad. They've got down to the dealership, and sometimes that car is not even there. They're making twice the monthly payment than they had planned to in a stripped-down version of their dream car. Those days are gone. You remember the Blue Book days? You go try to arm yourself with information. You don't have to do any of that. Go to TrueCar.com. Build the car you want. Type in your zip code. It's that easy. Most people are saving $4,000 off the MSRP. I love that. That's great. I also love that it is saving you guys time. No more nights, no more days, sometimes weekends at a car dealership. Those days are gone. Work directly with TrueCar.
Hey, it's Shaq. With the NBA Finals in full gear, you know we're all over it on the big podcast with Shaq. Can the King bring another title to the land, or will Steph and KD make history again? We got a cover like no one else. Plus, the biggest guests from sports and entertainment, tons of laughs, and the top stories every week, all summer long. Just go ahead and crown those champs. The big podcast with Shaq, with a new episode every Monday at Podcast One.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Hey, let me ask you. I had a interaction at the WrestleMania banquet a couple of years ago where I got to see you there. I had a quick interaction, but it was with Randy Orton, and I came away thinking that is the coolest guy. And I hear so many bad things about Randy. Everybody hates Randy. I got to meet the guy. It was probably 10 minutes. I thought he was the nicest, most engaging, went out of his way. Didn't know who I was, just a dude that was there. He doesn't follow our sport, and he was such a cool guy. Is Randy Orton a good dude? Is it all a gimmick, or is he a dick?
Another one of these questions where he's always been so cool to me. So cool. And I wrestled when he was just starting. And he reminds me often, like when I see him, about the time that it was when he first hurt his shoulder. It was in the match with me. He took this crazy bump, and it was just insane bump for a house show. And his shoulder was messed up, and I calmed him down, got him back in the ring, and popped his shoulder back in, and it was dislocated. And
ouch.
Yeah, and it was just like he never forgot that. It was just something he always brings up to me. And I've always, I've heard stories that, the thing is I can relate to this. When you're brought in and put in the spotlight at a really young age, it's easy for it to get the best of us. And maybe that happened with him at one time, but it's definitely not the case now. Like, it's very cool. Any thing these days with people thinking he's a dick, I'm sure it's because he wants them to think he's a dick. Does that make any sense?
Oh, 100%. But he's a second generation guy. This comes back to what we were talking about. He lives by a level of kayfabe. That's why you never know. That's what makes it so hard for a fan like me, is you guys have let us in on so much. The shoot has become the new work. So
right.
When you have a guy that's as smart as him, that's a second generation guy that knows the business inside and out, you never know when he's pulling our strings. But I always hear these bad things about him. I go, look, this is a young guy, full of talent, handsome as hell. He's still got a shelf life of maybe even a decade, maybe, if that's what he wants to do. This guy's the total pack. I don't buy it that he's a jerk. I just didn't see it. Who am I to base an opinion on a 10-minute, a 10-minute hi, hello, goodbye? But that was my takeaway, and I feel I owe it to him to say that because he was so nice to me.
Yeah, he is. And look, I think we all have defects of character. That sometimes come out in us. And I'm sure that's happened with him at times. It's happened with me. It still will at times in my life. Sometimes a person has their, if your only experience with me happens to be on a day when something like that comes out, that's your experience with me. I don't have very many of those. I have one person ever tell me that they had a bad experience with me like that, and it still bothers me to this day. But I'm sure there's more. The only one that's told me.
No, but, I hear you. And then you always feel bad about those, too. You look back and go, hey, what? You're right. I was a bit of a jerk, but I had no sleep, and I was traveling, and I was in a hurry, but I was a jerk. I owe you an apology. But you don't get to give those. You just know I'm going to go the rest of my life, and that guy is always going to think I'm a prick. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah, not a lot you can do about it.
There's nothing you can do. Hey, you and I were talking about rejection earlier from asking people to come on a show. You want to know who gave me the big blow off? Was Nash. I got Nash's email somewhere from somebody. I sent him a message, and he took the time to write me back. No. And then he hit send. And I thought, you know, Nash, I would, if you never would have wrote me back, if you never would have wrote me back, maybe I would have thought, hey, that email's no good. He took the time to write me back and turned me down. And I thought, hey, I'm the wrong guy to turn down because I'm a Nash Mark.
I'm gonna look into that. There must be more to the story's tale.
Hey, there might be, and guys do take bumps on this show every now and then. But he's not one of them, and he took the time to write me back. No, period.
Wow.
Send. I thought it was funny. Hey, I tell you that to be funny.
Who else? But who else? Man, I heard about Leon. Did he ever come on?
No, he never did, but he was a cool guy because, you know, his side of the story wasn't great. I mean, you know, we had an arrangement and a deal and we had all of these things and he blew it off, but he said as much. He didn't change this. Like somebody asked him about it. He didn't change the story. He told the story straight up. Yeah, we had a deal and I didn't call in. So what? And it's like, well, okay. I mean, if you're going to tell the truth, I got no problem with you. So yeah, Vader and I are cool, but, no, I shouldn't say he never came on. Yes, he did. He did finally come on and I got the spot. So I shouldn't say that, but he was fun to work with. And the poor guy had just been through a car wreck and it was a mess anyway, man. His hands were clean on that.
My concern with him is like head trauma. I think that there's something going on there. Not just the stuff that he talks about with, you know, with his health otherwise, with the heart or whatever's going on with that.
Well, if there's anybody that deserves to have head trauma, it's him. I mean, God, he spent years as a Ram. He spent years in both organizations, and then he rolls his car three or four times. I mean, look, he gets a pass with me. I thought Vader was a cool guy.
Yeah, and you know, regardless of anything, man, he deserves the respect because of what he's done and his accomplishments, and I hope to see him in the Hall of Fame pretty soon. I just wish he wouldn't campaign so hard for it.
That's one hard thing about it. Yeah, I agree with you on that. But I think he'll be there, man. I mean, does he deserve it. I like the people they're inducting. I mean, they put the Rock and Roll in there, and I mean, they've done some really cool things. What's sad about the Hall of Fame is there's only so many spots because it is a TV show. That's the thing that people don't take into account. You know, there is a window of time that they've got because they do film it and put it out for production. So only so many people can go in.
You know, the deal with that channel is Vince, when he talks, because I've been there for several of them now, he tells all the inductees, when they go out and do their speech, he goes, take as much time as you want because you might never get this chance again to get further. Or I forget exactly how he puts it, but he tells everyone to take as much time as they want. So, I mean, and, you know, some people are going to do just that. And so, you know, it creates a mess sometimes.
Mr. T.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I resented T doing that for two reasons. One, it wasn't really entertaining what he was saying. But two, it's like, hey, T, I'm not positive you belong here. Like, in fairness, this is a pretty cool deal, but I'm not positive you should even be on this stage. So be cool, wrap it up, say your thanks, and exit.
Yeah. It's like when you have, it's like we have a real captive audience. They're not going anywhere. So let me just, you know, just milk it as much as I can out of them.
I think T was on stage for 44 minutes, if I remember correctly. If I'm wrong, it was 47 minutes. But yeah, it was a little bit too long.
So they moved the Hall of Fame to Friday this past year because, you know, so guys could go to it and not have to get up bright and early in the morning to go, you know, to be on call for WrestleMania.
Hey,
because it was getting really difficult, man.
Do you know who Kenny Bolin is? Jim Cornette's buddy.
Yeah. I vaguely know, like, who he is just from some of the, like, some tweets that I get.
He has annoyed me to no end for about 2 years, and then sure enough, he won me over a little bit. So here's what happened with Bolin. Bolin has this new gimmick. Jim Cornette goes out, he introduces the Rock and Roll Express, and somewhere, Kenny Bolin is his real life best friend. So somewhere in there, he finds a way to say the words, Kenny Bolin. So Kenny Bolin is now doing this routine that he is a WWE Hall of Fame mentionee, and that he's got a ring coming forward and the whole bit. And as corny as that sounds, it's damn funny. He insists when he goes on interviews that he is introduced as WWE Hall of Fame induction mentionee. There's something about it that's so stupid, it works.
Well, whatever Cornette does seems to work for some reason.
Every time.
Yeah, man. I'm a big fan of Cornette. Even if he just completely hated my guts, which he very well may, I would still be a huge fan of his. Huge. Like, I'm like that, Jail. I can really like somebody that doesn't like me at all for whatever reason.
No, I know what you're saying. There is something that you will respect. I mean, a guy's either got talents and he's got brains and he's not afraid to come out there and speak his mind, and there's something endearing about it. And you say whatever you want about Jim Cornette. I think most people would say good things. He is a little polarizing, but you can't take that away from him. He knows the business, nope. He works hard, and he's got an energy, and he's not afraid to take a stand. And there's something about it that you can't look away.
Albert, if I was in charge of a team, I'd want him on it. I would want him on my team any day of the week.
Yeah. Oh, I fully agree with you there. I never miss his podcast. I listen every week. He's doing two of them now. And, you know, he's dropping gems constantly, and he's creating heat. You know, he won't let the Vince Russo thing go. And I've even talked to Vince and said, hey, is this real? Like, you guys really hate each other? And Vince has leveled with me and said, I do not hate him, but yes, it's real. He despises me, and there's nothing I can do about it. But it's still a great gimmick. He's been running it for like 6 years, and it's still funny.
Yeah, and you know, I don't consider either one of them really like liars or anything. So you wonder like who's telling the truth to you? You know, like I've never considered like, you know, or have heard anyone go, oh, so and so is such a liar, he always lies. I've never really heard that about either one of them. So you wonder like there must be some kind of a.
Well,
and
Puck, I'll tell you, they're kind of griping over nothing. So Cornette's pissed off that Russo had all these crazy ideas and ruined wrestling, and those are his words, not mine. But I'm looking at it going, well, wait a minute. Yeah, Russo did have some pretty far out there ideas, but the bosses approved them. The bosses said, this is the direction we want to go. Keep writing this stuff. What in the hell did he do wrong? But so I don't see who's at fault here.
And I think that the business was in Come on, like the different gimmicks that we had, like the Duke the Dumpster, you know, all the stupid gimmicks. I think that was worse, way worse than anything Russo ever did.
I agree. What's the worst gimmick you've ever seen? Who's the gentleman? Here, I'll throw one at you. Maybe you'll go, yeah, that's it. Who's the gentleman that came through? It was WCW. He was doing an interview. I want to say it was with Hulk Hogan. He had the mask on. Somebody screwed up, and there was a bar. So when he broke through the wall, he fell down, and the mask came off.
Oh, of course, Shockmaster. That was Tugboat.
Yes, Shockmaster. That poor guy. Come on, that wasn't his fault. He tripped. That could happen to anybody.
Oh, I know, but it was just. Come on, even the helmet, it was a storm. They went and bought a stormtrooper, a Star Wars stormtrooper helmet, and threw some glitter on it. You know, it was, that was what, in wrestling, we thought we could get away with selling to the people back then. And then we wonder why wrestling was in such bad shape, Jail.
Yeah, wrestle crap.
Yes.
That was pretty bad. What was the worst gimmick? I mean, I was just trying to get your juices flowing on that. What's something that you saw go, oh, man, I feel bad for that guy?
It was another one like, the Oz gimmick for Kevin Nash, it wasn't the worst gimmick ever, but what a doozy that was, huh?
Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It was over big in Japan, though. They loved it. Like, it was a big deal in Japan, actually. But here, you know, everybody crapped on it here. And a lot of the gimmicks that I'm thinking of are WCW gimmicks, and they didn't last very long. Like something that Kevin Sullivan would have come up real quick just to, you know, like he took this guy, this big tall guy, wrapped him up in ace bandages and called him the Yeti. You remember that?
Yeah, of course I remember the Yeti.
Do you remember when him and Big Show did the double bear hug on Hogan and it looked like they were... Oh, I don't want to tell you what it looked like.
It was very awkward. I even know who the Yeti was. If you give me enough time, I'll produce the gentleman's name. But yeah,
Ron Reese.
Yes,
Ron
there you
Reese.
Go.
He might have been at the power plant when you stopped by.
He may have been. I don't remember him there, but he may have been. There was a few guys that were out there that ended up going on and making it, which was pretty cool for me to see. You know, WCW stuff, and some of them were dark matches, but they made TV, but I thought it was pretty cool. But that was when, you know, Bob Sapp was out there, and it's right when Goldberg was getting his go. And so many people were jealous because it was like, look, come in, no tryout, you're our guy, let's just start training. And I don't know that that's Goldberg's fault. I mean, he just happened to have the look and the timing and everything else. I don't know that was fair as much as just jealousy. But I mean, the same thing happened to the Ultimate Warrior, and he'll be remembered forever. I mean, his intensity, his look, his pop, the arenas that he drew, the posters that he sold. That's back when posters were really big. They were even doing ice cream bars of him back then. I don't know that was his fault. Maybe he was a jerk. I never got to meet him, but I don't know that it was fault. I mean, every now and then in life, a guy gets to wake up on third and act like he hit a triple. I'm not sure it's his fault.
No, man. And what is this? What is this being angry at that person for their good fortune? I guess I've been there in my life. So what am I saying? I'm at a different place in my life now, though. And it's just like, man, we're like, take that energy that you're using to be like resentful that this guy's, you know, has a blessing, and just like, you know, redirect that into the right, you know, right direction. Come
yeah.
On.
Oh, most definitely. I think we've all done that, but yeah, your point is correct. It's like, hey, don't just cut down on this other guy. We're having a big problem at MMA right now where guys' numbers are getting released. And the numbers were always released, but they kind of had a way to do it and kind of keep it private a little bit. And there's some new ownership, and they're going, hey, look, I think the amounts that we're paying needs to be said. Let's do it. But, well, there's been a headache where guys are now seeing other guys' numbers and saying, hey, I'm worth more, I'm doing more, and it's just become a problem. And it's like, hey, don't always be mad at the other guy. Don't always be upset if he got a good deal, or if he's selling more tickets, or whatever the algorithm is. Just look at your deal. Are you happy? But that's hard. That's easy to say, but it's hard to do.
And look, and here's the thing, Chael. Like, if you're really bringing that much to the table, go in and ask for more. Say, hey, you're paying this guy this, and you're paying me this. And if you're worth it, you very well may get it.
Sure. Yeah, they're not afraid to renegotiate, definitely.
And Vince McMahon, I remember one time saying this to me when I was complaining about a payoff. And because my friends and I, we always told each other what we made. And, you know, that's kind of frowned upon, or it was. And I remember Vince telling me, oh, damn it, I have a good mind to just publish what everyone, or, you know, just release what everyone makes. I'm like, I think that's a good idea, Vince. I like that. I don't have a problem with that at all.
What did he say? Oh,
nothing.
Never mind. Yeah. Oh, never mind. Yeah. Well, you know, and we see some of that in MMA. I mean, that's kind of a plague that's going around right now, and it is tough. And I've always wondered in wrestling, like, MMA is a little more straightforward. You go, look, this is the lifting I did. My contract was undervalued. I've won this many fights, and I've been, you know, co-main event or main event. You can kind of categorize it a little different. I've always wondered in professional wrestling where you really need the office on your side. I mean, they can slow you down. Rusev just went through it. The office can really slow you down. If you go in and go, hey, I'm now worth this much, they can go, well, yeah, you sure are, but let me get my pencil and my eraser out here. And
exactly.
So how does that, I've always wondered about that. How do the politics work? When do you get in a spot where you go, no, there's nothing that you can do, I'm on top? I mean, never, right? I mean, they can write you out at any time.
Yes, and it's really tricky on how to navigate those waters because, you know, you'll be told, hey, this is a TV show, and you're at, you know, you're playing a role in a TV show, and you do what's written for you. The flip side to that is when they write you like what you're talking about, when they get that pencil out and rewrite your story and, you know, have you losing to everybody every single week, that lowers your value. That lowers your market value.
Instantly.
So there's an argument to be made there that you're not just being uncooperative. You're trying to protect your value. So, I mean, there's two sides to that. In wrestling, it's not like that in MMA as much, when, you know, because they can't, you know, book you to lose.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I've seen this happen. You know, Jack Swagger, I think, is also a good example. Young guy, he was the champion, had the look, this big shelf life, and all of a sudden, Jack Swagger's just not on top of the bill anymore. He's just as good as he always was, and, you know, no injuries and this and that. But I just saw that happen. I go, well, man, they can devalue you pretty quick if they want to. So it would just seem to me that going along to get along would make sense. But I know that's not the way it works. I know a lot of guys push back, and it does work for them. But, I mean, those are some masterful guys that can navigate those waters. And I've never known how you guys do it or when you know when to push back. I mean, do you – by example – it would seem to me once WrestleMania is booked and advertised, that would be the time to come in and go, okay, here's my placement on the card and I want to talk. As opposed to, you know, and I'm not saying the Ultimate Warrior way where you're backstage and refuse to walk through the curtain unless a check comes out. But it just seems like right. You guys are never, ever safe. So the time to strike may be once the advertisements are out and the bill is already made. I don't know. What do you think?
That would be, but like that might be one time to do it. But I can see management or the boss harboring some resentment at that kind of tactic.
Sure,
and I can understand that. It wouldn't be mine, but I've seen it done before. I just think that you know the deal is if you're really unhappy, you should leave. And if you really believe in yourself, you'll do fine. Like Cody Rhodes, for instance.
Okay, well, that's a fine example. Where did Cody go? See, that one caught me by surprise. I thought Cody was over again. Young, good-looking, talented, no injuries, yeah. Big shelf life. He asked for his release. He got it. But where the hell does he go? I mean, can you make those kind of checks on the independent circuit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Wrestling is very healthy right now. If you have a lot to offer, you can do very well, and it doesn't have to be in WWE.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be in Japan either? That's not the only other...
Well, that's part of the equation.
Okay.
Europe, Japan, pretty much internationally, like there's things going on. It seemed like he was being used well there, but it doesn't matter if he wasn't happy.
Sure.
You know, and some people second-guessed his decision, and I thought, man, you know what? I think he's doing the right thing, and I think he did. I really do.
Yeah, all right, well, good. I'm glad it worked out for him.
He'll be back.
Willie, can you come back when you go that way? No hard feelings?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100% guarantee it. Yeah, it's because he left in the right. He left the right way too.
Right, Pac. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on. Particularly with everything you're going through, man. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest? Hopes, goals, dreams, fears. Anything you want to share?
No, just I'm grateful to the people that waited to see how the story played out. That be like WWE, for instance. They didn't like. Terminate me or suspend me. They just waited because it sounded like a crazy story to them. I just want everybody to know, like, life is great, and I want it to be great for them too, man. I don't want to be the only one having a great life. So, just tune into my show, and I have Road Dogg on tomorrow.
Oh, Road Dogg's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to talk about a guy that came out, man, his run with Mr. Ass, he come to the ring. Oh, my God, I could still repeat his speech. It was hilarious.
And his journey out of the darkness, Chael, is amazing, man. He, like, it would have been easy to think that things were hopeless for him at one point.
Yeah.
You know, and just to be where he is now and for Vince McMahon to trust him to not even show up to SmackDown and just let him have the wheel. And SmackDown's doing great. Anyways, man, there's a million things I can't wait to talk to Brian about tomorrow.
Cool. Well, I have never met Road Dogg, but I'm a big fan. Tell him I said hello, and I appreciate you, Pac.
Oh, man, I do you too, man, and I can't wait to have you on.
Anytime, and I mean that. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Chael. Have an awesome day.
You too. All right, guys, X-Pac, I mean, I told you, I think I led that in pretty accurately. He cannot tell a lie. You ask him anything, he just answers the question. Those guests are fun to have, man. I never want to come on here and do an interview. I hate interviews. I don't like being interviewed. I don't like doing interviews. I want to have a conversation. That I want to come. I don't want an interrogation where I got to write down all, and I do this every time. I write down a bunch of questions so that I can steer this so that, you know, there's no dead air and we've got something to talk about. But I always hope to never have to go to that list. and I didn't have to today. It's sitting here in front of me. I didn't have to. You get Pac on, Pac, what are you up to? And he just starts talking. And nothing's off limits. And those are the guys you want. I will have some guests that will ask if they can come on the show. Maybe they got a new book or they got something they want to push or a show like X-Pac did. Maybe they got something they want to plug. Okay, great. But then they'll also come with a list of things. Hey, don't ask me about this. This is off limits. Well, I can't do it. You can't come on. This is the wrong show. I'm just not prepared on that level. I'm not going to remember these things. So I can't agree to them now and make sure they don't happen. Then we don't edit the show. We don't edit things. Whatever comes out, comes out. So great guest. Hope you guys enjoyed it. That's it. What a fun show. We had some fun today, didn't we? X-Pac is always great. I am going to be back tomorrow with another great episode. And until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, it's John Horn here. I'm the host of the new podcast that you need to subscribe to right now. It's called Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, and every week I chat about the creative process with stars who have roots and ties to theater. Who so far, would you ask? Well, let me tell you, we have Rainn Wilson, Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Gad, Dana Delaney, Bryan Cranston, David Copperfield, Matt Walsh, and so many more yet to come. It's called Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with me, John Horn. You can download it on the Podcast One app, or you can subscribe now on iTunes, or at podcastone.com.